Thank the Lord, thank the Lord. John, the first chapter. Seems like we've gone there a few times here recently. It's just amazing what is there in the Word of the Lord. Again, thank you, ministry team, for a tremendous job that you did. You know, this time of the year, I was a senior in Bible school a long time ago, trying to figure out what to do, where to go, what direction. And I began to feel a burden for my hometown. But I was worried. Oh, man, what am I going to do? Back in those days, you had four messages to get ready a week. Sunday school and preaching on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and then Wednesday night. I asked one of my instructors, how am I going to have enough? He said, "Oh, you will. There's a lot in that book." He said, "And if those folks don't think you're doing a good enough job, put one of them up." So anytime one of you want to come up and... So it worked out, praise God. They suffered through a lot of stuff. But John chapter 1, the Lord is reaching to a lot of the individuals who, you know, they're both anticipating and expecting and then waiting to see. And so in John 1:43, The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Now, remember, Andrew and Peter have already met the Lord. And word is getting around. I'm sure they're all excited about what they have learned and what they have heard from both John and then Jesus as well. Verse 45, Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." So Nathanael is trying to digest this. The son of Joseph, and he's from Nazareth. Not quite adding up in his mind. So Nathanael said unto him, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" And Philip saith unto him, "Come and see." Now Jesus said that, "Come and see," to the two disciples who were, you know, wanting to follow him after John said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." I like that "come and see" aspect. I like the way that there's an openness. You know, we say in today's world a transparency. Yeah, right. Yeah. But the Lord is saying, "Come check it out. Come take a look. Find out for yourself." I like that. Come and see. You may be seated. So the... you know, the expectancy, the anticipation, the hope, Messiah, we need you to come. We need you to rid Palestine or Jerusalem of Roman rule and Greek influence. Set your kingdom up again. Let the glory of David's time in Solomon's temple return. That's what they desired. And so when they heard Nazareth, or in this case, Nathanael, a bad reputation came to mind. Morals that weren't quite up to standard. Religion that was in name only. A crudeness that was in the culture. Just, doesn't sound likely that that's where he would come from. But that's where Jesus grew up. That's where Jesus learned to be a carpenter. Remember, he's 12 years old, and he's with his family in Jerusalem, and they're returning to Nazareth, and they lost track of him. But he wasn't learning behaviors that had to be spanked out of him, or, you know, restrictions. No, you can't go to hang out at the well today. You're restricted. You know, stuff like that. He wasn't learning those kinds of things. Amen. The Bible says, the high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, since he was put to the same temptations we have. He never once gave way to them. I like the way the Living Bible says it there. He never once gave way to them and sinned. Those temptations, you know, that we struggle with, that we are faced with. But I'm thankful, because he is a high priest, he sympathizes with us, and he sends his help. The Spirit helps our infirmities. Praise God. There's conviction. We thank the Lord for that. There's judgment, and that should be. And there's our conscience that speaks to us and says, you shouldn't be doing this. Amen. I hope our conscience speaks to us. But the Spirit helps our infirmities, and I'm thankful that power is there to lift us up in our weaknesses, because the Bible prophecy says evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. But that means our stand for righteousness, our stand for holiness, becomes even more prominent. Just as the people of God moving into the realms of the Amalekites, the Ammonites, and the Moabites, and all of those other parasites, they had a distinction. They had a difference. They stood for one God. Not all of those idols, not all of that debauchery, not all of that stuff that was so bad and so wrong. No, they stood for one God. That was the distinction that kept them separate and different. But that scripture in Timothy goes on to say, seducing or deceiving and being deceived. You know, marching forth saying, look at this, look at that. This is what's right. This is what's true. And then letting themselves absorb even more of what is deceitful. No, thank God for truth. Thank God for power. Thank God for blessing. Thank God for strength. Amen. Come and see. Amen. And thank God there was the literal aspect of those who were blind being able to see. Bartimaeus asking the Lord, when the Lord said, what would you want me to do? I mean, it's pretty obvious of what he wanted him to do. But the Lord wants us to ask. The Lord wants us to bring our requests, our strong reasons for what we want him to do. Bartimaeus simply answered, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said, receive your sight. Praise God. He got up, threw his beggar's rags aside, and followed the Lord. Thank God for the change. Yeah. Amen. He didn't remain there with his little sign, you know, on the side of the road. My Lord, we see a bunch of that, and you're driving along. You know, we need help. We need this and so on. And there are situations where they need help. But, you know, Brother Greg still has his obsession with agates. And so we're out wandering around trying to find places, this river, that place, and so on. We found more homeless camps than we found agates down in the riverbanks. And they were abandoned. There was nobody there. But, you know, blankets, pillows, pots, shoes, junk left where people had been living in the brush and putting up pieces of driftwood that the river had washed down and trying to make a spot. How can they live like that? But they choose to. They choose to be deprived. They choose to sacrifice. They choose to limit themselves so that they could have money for their stuff. And I thought about that. As I'm walking along looking, you know, I found a heart rock for my wife, and I'm looking, and I look over here, and here's a tarp that's all torn up and so on. I'm walking. And then it occurred to me, they're sacrificing. They're being deprived. They live in low standards so that they could puff on some weed or pop some pills or shoot some, I don't know, all the stuff. I thank God I never was exposed to any of that stuff. But it spoke to me in saying, what am I doing as sacrifice and depriving myself for something I value, for something I count worthy of more than anything? My walk with God, my knowledge of this word, my fellowship with the people of God. What am I doing? And I pray, oh God, help me, Lord, to move into that realm and not just be comfortable and convenient and everything. Thank God for this beautiful church. Thank God for, you know, just a wonderful time that we're able to come together. But, oh God, help me to be able to sacrifice some of my time that I can teach a Bible study, that I can share my testimony, that I can give a witness, praise God, and know that the hand of God is there to provide. Praise God. And others may see that they could see. Now, again, there were those who saw literally the man born blind. And the four times that he gave his testimony, and as simple as it was, one thing I know, I was blind, but now I see. They were trying to talk him out of it. Instead of celebrating, they were criticizing. How crazy. But he stood his ground. You see these eyes? I imagine he could have just erupted a little bit more and saying, you know, for 19 years, for 20 years, whatever, it was I could not see, but he made me see. Who made you see? I've told you before who made, you know, it's just the back and forth there is ridiculous. But thank God he stood his ground and knew that he could see because of the hand of the Lord. Those men who had the man rather who had his eyes touched and he saw men as trees walking. The healing wasn't quite complete. It wasn't quite in the fullness that the Lord was able to do, but the Lord touched him again. Oh, thank God for that second touch. Thank God for that second chance. Thank God for that second blessing from the Lord. And reminds me of those lepers, 10 of them, not just one, 10 of them, that were healed as they went to show themselves to the priest. And one came back to worship the Lord, and he was made whole. That second blessing, that second touch, that second blessing from the Lord. Well, who knows how long this situation is going to go on that we have here and we call the pandemic. Who knows what's going to take place? But I think about those in Scripture, the man who was paralyzed at the pool and had no one to put him in when the waters were troubled and so on, some supernatural manifestation. 38 years. The woman bowed over. Her spine or something happened to her. 18 years. The woman with the hemorrhage condition, 12 years. All of those hopeless times, all of the repetitiveness of wondering what's going to happen, how's it going to work out, what's going to take place, but Jesus. Jesus, amen, did a work. Thank God that they were able to come and see what God was able to do and the power he was able to display. Oh, thank God for his goodness. Amen. Hallelujah. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Well, he came from heaven. Praise God. He came in fulfillment of the word of God. He came as God manifest in the flesh. He came as the image of the invisible God. He came with the name above every name. He came with the saving name of Jesus Christ. He came with the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God that there can be that anticipation. And when we come to the house of God, what are we going to see? When we come to the place of prayer, what is God going to manifest? When we come to the place where we desire his touch, what revelation is he going to bring going forth. Thank God that we know the blessings of the Lord. We know the good tidings, hallelujah, of great joy at his birth. We know they called him good master. We know he called himself the good shepherd, hallelujah. We know he declared to his disciples, be of good cheer. Oh yes, there's good things that come out of Nazareth. Oh, there's good things that come out of the Messiah. Oh, there's wonderful things that come out of the one who said, come and see. Now that's different than wait and see. Wait and see is a little more pessimistic. Yeah, I know. We'll wait and see about how things might turn out, and what situations may come about, what may develop, and so on. I know that's a okay phrase, but come and see is an invitation. Come and see is a check it out. Praise God. You know, John in prison had a request of his disciples, go and ask him, are you the one that we look for, or do we look for another? Or should we, you know, should we expect something else? And I'm thankful that the Lord answered those men who came from John with how he could point to results. The blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the dead are raised. You know, all of the examples that he could list as to what he was able to do. Praise God. It's not a wait and see, it's a come and see. Hallelujah. Jesus said, come and see, and those disciples abode with him that day. They stayed with him. They spent time with him. They responded to the come and see. It wasn't just a look and leave. No, there was a lock on new life. Praise God. The hand of the Lord being different for them as they would continue to come and seek what the Lord would desire for them, and how that John preached so strong that message of repentance. So necessary for works of repentance, fruit of repentance. He emphasized that so strong. And he wasn't very, he didn't have a lot of finesse. When you vipers, you bunch of snakes, who warned you to flee from the judgment to come? You know, that's not a very good invitation. That's not a way to ruin friends and influence people. But he did. Man, what a powerful, powerful ministry. That was very short, 6 months long. And then his life ended in a terrible, terrible request from Herodias to her daughter. Oh, my goodness. I just cannot imagine a mother saying that to her daughter. Ask for the head of John the Baptist. That's terrible. But that's where sin will take you. That's how far degraded it will be. That's how far down an individual can sink. But oh, thank God there's repentance. And the Lord says, come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Nice and green in Oregon. Some of the trees starting to blossom already, Sister Esther, already turning pink and beautiful. And I come back to all white. But I remember what the scripture says. Though my sins were as scarlet, they're as white as snow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I praise God. I'm thankful that he's able to do that. And the devil can't stop that. The devil can't interrupt that. The devil can't reverse it. The devil can't say that's hogwash. The devil can't say that's make-believe. Thank God the Lord knows how to cleanse us. The Lord knows how to make us brand new. The Lord knows how to bring us into being new creatures. Hallelujah. Thank God for the power of the Lord to do that kind of work when we repent and return to the Lord, because he invites us. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Hallelujah. Thank God. It's not a guilt trip. It's not something that's going to weigh us down. It's not going to be a burden that buries us. No, he said, I'm going to give you rest. Come and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly. Hallelujah. Oh, my burden is light. Thank God, the power of God to be able to do a work when he says, come unto me. He sent his servants at supper time in that parable about the spiritual feast. And he said to them that were bidden, come, all things are now ready. Oh, I'm thankful the Lord has a feast prepared for us. David said it, you prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. When I should be all nervous and all torn up and wondering what's going to happen, you help me to sit down and you give me spiritual food and you give me natural food, even when it seems a thing falling apart. But my God is a good shepherd. My God is my shepherd. Hallelujah. Thank God that I know his power and his goodness and his strength and how he declares, come. Hallelujah. Oh, thank the Lord. Revelation 22, Brother Mike, talking about it today, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, and how John wrote it, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. I'm glad that invitation is still there. I'm glad the Lord is opening up to everybody. I'm glad the call is still come. Hallelujah. And the Lord says it, I come quickly. And John echoes it, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Oh, I pray there's something within our hearts that's crying out today. Lord, we want you to come. Lord, this is a good time for you to come. Lord, I'm ready for you to come. Lord, I'm wanting you to come. Oh, Jesus, that we can come and see all the blessing that you have for us. Praise God, praise God. Because he's more than a carpenter. He's a skilled carpenter, but he's more than a carpenter. No doubt he put furniture together, but he put lives back together. That woman in John 8, what a tough situation she was in. But the Lord helped her life to come together the way it should be. I don't think she went back to that adulterous bed. I don't think she went back to those lovers and those that would use her and abuse her. Oh, no. When the Lord said, sin no more. I think that was her motto. Nope, not going to go down that road again. Nope, not going to go to that place again. No, I'm not going to spend time with him again. Sin no more. He built houses. He put up buildings. But thank God he said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He may have built coffins. He may have structured crutches. But thank God he healed those who were lame. He raised from the dead those who had gone the way of death. Amen. And now, in that region, Sister Donna, more than likely he worked with stone. Because the trees are not very plentiful. They didn't have lumber all that much. And oh, I'm thankful he's a tried stone. Yes. Yes. Amen. He's that stone that Isaiah 28 and 16 talks about, a sure foundation, a tried stone, a precious stone. Praise God, a cornerstone. Yes. And so he would work with that. Amen. And he desires you to be strong as a and steadfast as a stone. Not a tombstone, of course, but a monument of his power and his goodness. Yes, yes. Praise God. Someone who's going to testify. You know, you go to Washington, D.C., and you know, all of these memorials and all of these etched in stone sayings and so on, the Lincoln Memorial and all of these different places. What an incredible testimony. That black, long structure with nothing but names on it. Oh, man, does that grip you. 58,000 of them. More than the population of the Kenai Peninsula. Those names. Name after name after name. And we found the name of my wife's uncle. And But yet it reminded me of the name above every name. That's the name that makes the difference. That's the name that can change lives. That's the name that can defeat devils. That's the name that can deliver from depression. That's the name that can bring healing. Thank God and the power of the Lord. Oh, I'm thankful that He is a tried stone. He is a precious stone. He is the cornerstone. He is the sure foundation. I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. But He says, come and see. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God. The Lord reveals them unto us by His Spirit. We get a preview. We get a down payment. We get the earnest of our inheritance to know what we receive in the Holy Ghost, what we feel in the power of God, what we know in the goodness of the move of His Spirit is what we're going to see when we arrive on the other side. Oh, I want to make it. Hallelujah. I want to come and see. Not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God. Beloved, believe not every spirit. Try the spirit. There are a lot of spirits running around here today. A lot of deception. That's part of the end times. That's part of what we know is going to come. But thank God the Lord is going to help us because His Spirit is greater in us than he that is in the world. So I got to make sure I got the right spirit. You know, and we use that in terms of attitude, in terms of, how we're going to respond and so on. But also, we want the Spirit which is of God. Amen. That power of the Lord. Throw off everything that hinders. The sin that so easily entangles. That's how another translation renders that part there in Hebrews 12 and 1. Every weight which so easily besets us. It so easily entangles us. Because that's the devil's work. But oh, thank God. We're going to have that power from the Lord and His blessing in our life. You know what amazed me is how the Lord spoke the names in John 1? Andrew, Simon Peter, Philip, Nathaniel. No, he spoke their names. And he now we know after His resurrection, Mary, Thomas, Peter, and so on. Thank God that He knows names. And so Nathaniel, with his comment, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" He may have been flippant. He may have been just kind of semi-joking. He may have been, just saying whatever came to mind. But the Lord had something to say to him. And the Lord greeting him and Nathaniel being puzzled. You know, people call you by name and you're desperately trying to remember, who are they? Where did I meet him? What? Sometimes I'll say to somebody, keep talking, I'll catch up with you. My memory. Thank the Lord. Sister Glover is my memory bank. She remembers. But Nathaniel is, the Lord said, I saw you when you were sitting under the tree. Uh-oh. So Nathaniel now has his changes. He calls him Rabbi. He calls him Son of God. He calls him King of Israel. Because now the revelation is going. Now, because of his hunger for the things of the Lord, amen. He was looking for a good thing, but God was going to show him greater things. Greater things. You're going to see heaven opened. You're going to see the angels of God ascending and descending. Oh, Nathaniel must have been excited by then for him to understand God is going to show me even greater things. Oh, I want to see it. I want to see it. Praise God. Amen. Nathaniel became persuaded, I think, at that point. I think the Lord convinced him. Amen. And the disciples continued on with the Lord. And they saw greater things. They saw those miracles. They saw those healings. They saw the dead being raised. They saw the Holy Ghost being poured out. They saw the explosive growth of the church because they continued on. Amen. And then Paul and his conversion, the Lord called him by his name, didn't he? Saul, Saul. Praise God. And the Lord knows the names of your loved ones. I know we remind him. I pray, oh God, touch my brother Everett. Oh God, bring him, I pray, to your truth. Let the Holy Ghost come upon. I had a dream of him with his hands raised and his face looking upwards and he's talking in tongues. I had that. I'm holding on to that. Yes. Praise God. Touch my sister-in-law, Eunice. God, do a work in their lives. God knows their names. I don't have to remind him. God knows who they are. And the Lord did a work in Saul's life. Saul thought he was doing right. He thought he was on the right path, the right track. I'm going to destroy this Jesus name bunch of tongue talkers. I'm going to tear them apart. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And oh, the dynamic change that came to him. Praise God, and persuasion. Paul was able to talk about being persuaded, fully persuaded, that what he had promised, he is able also to perform. Praise God. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God. He said, I'm persuaded. I'm persuaded. And then he listed all of that stuff, 17 different things that he would list there. Nothing's going to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And Gene would say, that's good. Paul would say, I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him. That's where we have to be, committing ourselves to the Lord. Praise God. Committing ourselves to the point where we know he's going to keep us. We know he's going to provide us. We know there's much more that he wants to bring forth. Praise God. And so we continue walking with him. Come and see, he says. Now, I was thinking about this. And again, the names. Thank God there's several Marys, Miriam, Salome, different ones that he would speak to and women, and not the perverted junk that Hollywood puts out with the Jesus and women. No. My goodness. Millions of dollars they spend on that and such garbage. No, the Lord spoke to men. Men. Would you stand, men? Andrew, Peter, Philip, Nathaniel, John the Baptist being his cousin. You know, the interactions that he had with those men. Thank you for standing, ladies. I just want to speak to the men. Let the ladies sit down. Brother Ivan, stand up. Yeah, you're all right. You were standing. Go ahead, stand up. Men, the Lord called and spoke to those men. I'm going to show you greater things. There's questions that you might have, but you keep following me. Come and see. I'll show you. You're going to find out. And notice how they would say, who was it? Andrew found his brother Simon. And Philip finds, and they're finding because they're seeking. And he came with the report, we have found him of whom Moses and the law did write. We found him because they were seeking. They were looking. Amen. And I think the position of men, of stepping forth and actively searching, actively looking, actively expecting. Praise God. Thank you, Brother Steve, for making a trip around the church. Amen. Men need to do that. Men need to be able to step out and say, this is where I'm going to be. This is what I stand for. This is who I serve. This is who I know to be God. Now, the Bible talks about, I'll just get it plain here, okay? The Bible talks about those who repent and the angels rejoice in heaven over one sinner that repents. Praise God. Being born again, I believe, makes heaven rejoice. You know what makes the devils rejoice? Porn again. Getting caught in that trap. Getting caught in that mess and that garbage. And the world makes billions off of that industry. Billions. And I don't want to know how many websites contain all of that garbage. But we know there's way, way more that promote that filth than present the good news. No, I'm not going to go porn again. I'm going to maintain born again. Amen. Praise God. And let that power be displayed, because I want to see what he has for us. Praise God. Men, step out from where you are and come stand here now. Ladies, I invite you to come and stand with them. Oh, what a faithful church. What a church that makes their pastor proud. I don't apologize for saying I'm proud of you. I know we say we're Holy Ghost proud. How else do we say it, Brother Pelletier? We're whatever proud. I'm just plain old proud of you. Proud of my worship team. Proud of my ministry team. Proud of the workers who don't mind grabbing a shovel and driving a plow truck or working in the kitchen or any of those aspects. And that's just the physical part of the church. But I'm proud that you're willing to set aside time in your schedule to teach a Bible study. One pastor said, I have never taught a Bible study when I didn't have to say no to something else. In other words, he said, I had to change my schedule. I had to move things around so that I could fit that Bible study in. It's the way it works. You're never going to have a convenient time. You're never going to have an open schedule that just says, well, you know, I'm sitting here twiddling my thumbs. I don't know what else to do. Maybe I'll teach a Bible study. Never going to work that way. The devil's going to make sure you're busy. The devil's going to make sure you've got other things that you've got to fit in. But no, you say no to that so that you can say yes to the Bible study. Or your testimony, or your witness. Praise God. Sister Sharon's going to come up on a Thursday night. This is what you're going to do. And you're going to share your testimony again. You gave a brief amount in Sunday school, but I want you to expand that. And I want you to share how important a testimony is and how powerful a witness is. You're going to get ready for that. Because every one of you has a testimony. And the world needs to hear it. Because there's so much junk in this world, so much garbage. Like the scripture says, evil men becoming worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, just caught in a whirlpool, a merry-go-round. A merry-go-round sounds like fun. A whirlpool that's going to suck you down into death. No, we're gonna rise up. We're gonna come and see what the Lord has for us. Can we thank the Lord first of all for rescuing us, for redeeming us, for bringing us into truth? Can we thank him for that? And then we're gonna commit ourselves. Oh Lord Jesus Christ, thank you so much for so great salvation. Thank you so much for your power and grace.